All right, well, today's lesson to me is a little bit interesting, but the title, Dealing with Death. And I was talking, Susan and I were talking, but everybody in here has dealt with death, one shape, form, or another. But today we're going to see how should we deal with death, but is there a difference in dealing with death if, let's say, you're a non-believer versus being a believer? Because our feelings, I guess you could say, about death is, if you're a believer, you know that death is imminent. It's going to happen. In our discussion yesterday, it doesn't tell us anywhere in the Scripture that you know your days are numbered, but you don't know what day, what time, where. You're not going to get a phone call from heaven saying tomorrow. It doesn't happen that way. But today we see a little difference in, and also in, and it's interesting to me, in about Jesus too, and how he dealt with this situation, because he had lost a close friend too. And you wouldn't think that maybe his reaction would have been what it was, but we'll find out why. But early on, and I find this interesting, the Jews, or some Jewish belief, had it that when you died and your body was placed in the tomb, or if you were very wealthy, you got to be put in the cave, so to speak, with the stone in front of you, that your spirit hovered over you for 3 days, thinking that you might come back. But once it sort of detected that your body was decomposing, the spirit would leave you. Now, we know Lazarus has died, and it is the fourth day, and Jesus has found out about his death, and he plans to go back and visit. But prior to this, and I didn't read it very deeply, is I want to say Jesus had been in the area teaching, and the Jews pretty much ran him away, wanted to stone him to death. So his followers questioned him, why do you want to go back when they treated you the way they did when you were there? So we begin, it's in John chapter 11, and let's read verses 21 through 27. And we'll go back, and it says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. He was in Bethany, he was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. And this is where the scripture begins. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus replied, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And Martha replied, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was come into the world. Now, When Martha questioned Jesus, "Where have you been?" Was she questioning him in his, let's say, ability to be a friend, to be concerned? You knew that Lazarus was sick. You were good friends with him. Where were you? Why were you not here? You know, I know that if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. That one question, do you think that troubled Jesus? Do you think it bothered him that she would ask him that? I mean, you take in our world, we can't be every place, every moment, all the time. We want to try to be there for friends who are suffering, but you can't be there all the time.
But that was natural for humans. You know, like when you have an accident home with a child, the first thing to say, well, if you'd have been there, wouldn't
well,
it
happen? Yeah.
So she was human. I think we forget that he was here human too. So, I mean, that's just a natural. I'd ask, you know, where were you? Why weren't you here? Why are you so late? Where, you know, that's just.
But was that part of Martha's grieving? You know? Is it her way of saying, I wish you had been here standing beside me. I wanted you to be here.
She believed with all her heart if he would have been there.
He would not have died because he was God's son. And this comes out in the lesson. Lazarus is only one of three people that Jesus actually raised from the dead. Well, thinking back on that, well, if he was sent here to be the Savior and save the world and die for our sins, then why didn't God put him here? There'd be no death. He couldn't just, if he died, he just could not raise everybody back from the dead. That was not his purpose. His purpose was here, and he knows that Martha understands he is the resurrection. He did come, and he did tell us that on the last day, at the time, I will come back and raise the dead to go home with me. He knows that she knows that.
Martha's like me, she was always very outspoken.
Yes.
Well, and you know, we all know too, part of grieving is anger. I mean, you do get angry in the grief process. Sometime along the grief process, you get angry because it shouldn't have. So how do you know her tone to him? She was angry because if you had been here, this would have never happened. I'd have never lost that, you know. So you don't know that she didn't come across to him because they were so close. You can do that to your good friends. You can be angry to a friend who's already dealt with or seen grief, and they understand. So you don't know that the way she acted to him was like maybe we acted to our closest friend and be angry. Maybe she's mad. You know, she's mad at him. He was walking around trying to tell all these other people stuff, and if you'd have been here, this would have never happened to Lazarus.
True.
Don't you think that anybody that has lost somebody asks God why?
Why?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why did you let it happen?
Right. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little about that yesterday. Is it, if you compare a non-believer to a believer, let's say, is, yes, we have those questions. And it's not wrong. You know, I'm sure we've all heard before from a pulpit, it's okay to ask God why. And, well, I'm wrong in saying, but don't expect an answer. But, yes, why? You know, in my life, I've had three close friends, younger, that were my age. They're not with us anymore. Why am I here? And why are they not here?
also talked about, like you talked about the scriptures, we talked about, there's not a number. Age has no, nobody's safe from death, whether you're a newborn or, like I saw in the paper this morning, there was somebody that's 101. In that time span, you know, when you're 40 and under, you're safe. You know, when you get 50, you're kind of in the little, you know, and then when you get 60 and up, you're no. And that's not true, because we've seen it all of our lives. We've seen from infants to way senior adults that we've lost.
But, you know, getting to that, it is, and you think about it, I mean, I'm fortunate enough I still have my parents. I don't know how I'll feel. I'm sure I'll be troubled, but I look at it this way. I can look back on their life and their influence on me and our families now and our grandkids and their friends and families, and I can be blessed because of their life. Will I miss them? That I don't think anybody could say you don't quit missing anyone that was a part of your life. But yes.
And you know that they're going to
happen. Yes.
But what is so hard on people is when they lose loved ones and they
don't know. Yeah. And but as believers, there are some questions that it says, what about those who are living and believing in Jesus right now? Do we believe Jesus has already won for us eternal life? Yes. And do we accept the fact that our Lord is the resurrection and the life that He has already secured for us? Yes. And like you said, we can deal with death and confidence because of the Savior's promise concerning resurrection. We know one day we'll see our loved ones again. But if we move on into verse 33, because in the meantime, Martha called Mary, and she tells him the teacher is here. And I thought that was interesting. And when she heard that, she got up to go see him. And it was, verse 31, it says, when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her too, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn. But when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Now stop right there. Why do you think Jesus was troubled? Sure. Because do people sometimes look at Jesus as being an all-power, supernatural, you know, but he was a human being too, and he had feelings. He might not have expressed them in his time here on earth. But he was human. And being very, very close to Mary and Martha and Lazarus, I'm sure his heart ached and hurt because of the loss. But do you think Jesus in any shape or form questioned Mary's belief at that point? Did that trouble him that there again, you know who I am, but I'm kind of understanding that you really don't know who I am. Is that what troubled Jesus? Because the writer pointed out is, it says, what angered Jesus? Was he mad at the devil for wreaking havoc on God's otherwise good creation? It said, Martha had used many words and Mary had used tears to convey their pain to Jesus. Although they had faith that Lazarus could be healed if Jesus had been there earlier, they wrestled with the apparent finality of his death. His brother's death naturally caused them great devastation. But I think Jesus' concern was that these sisters saw death, but they failed to see life.
You mean they failed to see everlasting life?
Everlasting life.
Okay.
Eternal life.
Okay.
And I say this with great caution, are there people who lose someone and their life as they knew it ends right then too? They don't socialize with anybody anymore. They become a hermit. They become secluded. They have no need for any outside touch. Is that what Jesus is saying here? And it's true. Their life goes on. You may have lost your partner, but you still have a life to live. And does that anger Jesus? Does that disappoint him if we develop those feelings? But then verse 35, Jesus wept. Do we know, is that the first time he's ever wept? Because Susan questioned yesterday, when he was a little boy, did he get in trouble?
No pay test, ma'am. Pay's just having a problem. We were having this discussion, and she said, do you think he ever got a spanking? Do you think he ever got reprimanded for doing,
Or did,
Or was he just the child that you just had to say, Jesus, sit down right there, and he did? Where the child, you said, sit down, and they never did, that kind of thing. But I mean, because we go from him being in the temple till he's an adult. But in that time span, he was human. He was here to be human. So was he rambunctious? Was he, And so it's, that was kind of a facetious
question. Maybe that's something you can ask him.
That's right.
Yeah, we can.
But it was kind of a facetious question. But, we're taught all of our, and we teach our children that he was a little boy. Mm-hmm. And so we just naturally think of him being a little boy like the little boys that we've been around all the time.
I believe he was. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He must have been a quiet child because of the fact that they had gotten how far away from the temple before they realized
he was gone.
He was gone. I'm sure they had other children.
Yeah.
Well, he might have been so rambunctious and listen.
But we can rant for about 2 or 3 days and we'll go back and get it. Or you can be one of the children that will say, after they've had it about 2 or 3 days, they'll bring it home.
No.
But I mean, we did quit like we did, did he weep?
But what says weeping out of grief?
Or was it out of
because
disappointment of the sisters?
If we look at that, why would Jesus cry over a death that brought? That's because, like I said, he wept, and I think it was because his heart is troubled and broken, and he is seeing his close friends suffer. Everybody has emotions. Some people don't show them, but, I relate to this in that how many times have you been to a visitation and you go to a close friend of yours and just their emotions enter you and you become emotional too. That's just part of it. This writer points out Jesus wept because dear friends were letting grief have the final say. He wanted them to experience instead the confidence and certainty that everyone can have in dealing with death by accepting Him as the resurrection and life.
But don't you think we've all been there? I mean, none of us have not been there. And the day that you go through of letting that person go, the day that you do your service and all that, you know, it's like, that is the end of the world that day in your heart. Mm-hmm. But then as you process, maybe you begin to process yourself that died or the next day, and you're around people and you start reminiscing and you talk about the things I've done or the things that they did with you as a parent or, you know, on and off. Then your heart begins to, I'm not saying unharden, but it begins to waver to realize that, one, like you said, life is going to go on. Not with a person there, but your life is going to go on. But look how the memories are going to carry you through your grief. So see, you know, down the road, Mary and Martha, you don't know how long they've been friends with Jesus. So they have memories to go way back on to help carry them. And we do that the first week or the first 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. We do think it's the end of the world. How am I going to get up tomorrow without this person being here?
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, as Christians with friends and family, we talked about this too, having your faith and your friends and your family, that helps you be able to put your feet on the floor the next day and move on.
This writer has a question. It says, do you think we make Jesus weep when we fail to acknowledge His personal concern for us? By acting and living as though the negative aspects of our lives are too great for Him to handle.
You know? We don't ask. We don't thank Him enough for His blessings every day, right?
It's very true. He doesn't promise us everything in life. He promises He will be with us and He will provide for us. That's hard for some people to grasp and understand, I think. I think accepting Him as who He is and giving my life to Him, my life's going to be a bed of roses from now on. No, it's not that way.
He also gave us a brain.
To use. But verses 36 and 37 says, then the Jews said, see how He loved Him. But some of them said, could not He who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? You don't question His works. But they're questioning there again. Mary and Martha had questioned, if you had been here, He would have not have died. Well, to me, that just, I won't say created more hardening of the heart for Jesus, but verse 38 tells us, Jesus once more was deeply moved. He came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And He says, take away the stone. And Martha says, but Lord, by this time there is a bad odor, for He has been there 4 days. And Jesus says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And they take away the stone, and Jesus says, Father, I thank You that You have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, for they may believe that You sent me. Did He have to do that?
No.
could have got a good point across it.
Well, he did. He's thanking his Father for putting him here on earth, placing him here at this moment, because he knows you've heard me. And I know you always hear me. And we're going to show these people that we have that communication, that is why I am placed here. And it goes on to say, he cried out, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus says, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Now, is the writer questor writes this, is at the moment when we talked about when Jesus wept, and usually, you know, it says that a quote, a living person, we don't have to wear the cloths of death on us. But is that a symbolism towards the lost? Are they wrapped up in linens of death and it's got them in a bind? But when they accept Jesus into their life, those claws are removed away. It says here that Jesus wept because his spirit was troubled and vexed. I'll just use that word. It says he was not only seeking to free not only Lazarus from his grave clothes, but also the bystanders who were short-sighted in theology.
So you don't know when this was over, you don't know who believed after this.
No, it doesn't go into that.
No, but so.
But do we?
You are assuming that he assumed the statement that he made, that I'm not saying he's expecting. I guess he would be hoping that there would be people that would step forth that believe too, because they saw this miracle. It's not like the fish and the loaves.
Well, how
this
many?
Is a little greater, though. Yeah. He rose somebody from the dead. So, I mean.
And there's been, I'd say, conversation amongst people is, why does a pastor at a funeral, once they've talked about the person and about their life and this and that, why does he address the attendees there? What about you? Is your heart right with Christ? That, to me, is the same thing that Jesus did here. They want everyone to understand. They want everyone to at least hear the Word of God. You have to make the decision for yourself. But I hate to say that, but maybe losing this person might change your life. And I'm sure that has happened in times. But we'll close with this. This is, what about us? When someone we love passes away, do we allow this unbridled grief to overwhelm us? I think yes. But do we look to Jesus to comfort us and minister to us and help us?
Tell him my statement. If all the guys, I'm going to be so mad because he left me, then I'm going to be mad at everybody else too. And his comment. Yeah. I can't do anything about that.
But it can be so overwhelming. I know since I lost Mom, I knew exactly who Mom was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost like I had this routine. I got up every morning. I got in the shower. I got my face. I went to the nursing home. And when Mom was gone, I kind of didn't know what to do with myself. I wanted, you know, I've had a hard time getting me back to, and it's just kind of coming. But it was just, I was so used to doing that, it was hardless. And I had to go back and reevaluate and find my purpose because Mom was gone, and I had to stop and rethink my situation. And it's easy to do that.
Yeah. And it's what we talk to, you know, just talking, if you, how people that don't have faith, they do have their family and friends to help them, but your faith, you know, the Bible tells us we're never alone. So when you're the person that's deceased is gone, you're still never alone because he's right there with you. So we have our faith to fall back on, but people that are non-believers, they are alone. They have their family and friends, but there are times in their life when they are totally alone. So I mean, it's like they are totally lost.
They don't have that peace
right
within.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
When I walked into the house after James' funeral, I just looked up and said, "Lord, is part of me gone?"
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about your parents hold a family together.
Yeah.
When they pass away, things, the family is never the same. Mm-hmm. Even if you have a close-knit family, everybody scatters out and does their own thing. And if you had that one center that you went to.
Well, the hardest thing I ever had to accept in my life was a death. Was I had a brother that took his life.
Mm-hmm.
And all my life I had been taught, if you take your life, you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
But I will have to say, I went through a rough time with it. But at last, I come to the church, and me and Brother Jones went through several things on that. And I don't believe that anymore now.
No.
I don't believe it anymore.
No.
Because he liked to run me great. I had to get under a doctor's care.
Yeah, that's... I mean, those thoughts are out there, but there again, you never know. Yeah, you never know what's going on in that person's, let's say, not life, but up here. I can attribute to that because I've had depression in the past, and it's scary. I'll just put it to you like that. It makes you think things that you know are not normal and are not right. But
and you learn through through the years with dealing with that depression is like cancer.
Yeah.
It really and truly is.
I know what
a
depression
sickness.
Is now.
So you don't get all, you don't feel all out of shape when you fed somebody that has cancer morphine for 5 days to keep them comfortable, and then they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing with that. You don't feel, you know, you realize that you've done the best you can do. It's not that. But now the Catholics believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that because I had a friend that was a Catholic that I worked, and she asked me that. Did we believe? And I said, each to his own. I said, but this is what I believe. I said, there are too many things in the world today that cause people not to be able to focus correctly, and they do something like that, but I don't believe that they're...
Well, my husband and daughter has depressions, and that is something in your chemical thing, and that's something they can't help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ms. Lee?
Thank you all.
Yes, ma'am.
Appreciate you so much.
You're welcome.
Good lesson. Mm-hmm. And death is something that if we haven't faced, we're going to have to face.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Well, he had said this was a different kind of lesson.
Kind of hard to do. But we appreciate it so much. And it's so good to have
I should have seen you when I got home first time.
Oh.
I lost 20 pounds, and when I placed the mirror, I looked that way.
Let's stand and have our benediction.
my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.